Hello and welcome to Spotlight on Asia on Radio France International. I'm Roslyn Hyams. In Thailand, the military junta in place for nearly a year now and following several years of political turmoil lifted the country's 100-year-old martial law. Under the interim constitution of 2014, they invoked Article 44, which appears to be even more restrictive, especially with regard to basic rights and freedoms. However, for the junta's leader and prime minister, General Prayut Chan-o-cha, it means a concentration of power in his hands and the armies. The opposition Red Shirts, loyal to ousted Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawat, said they have already felt more pressure. On a post on Facebook, and some may say thank goodness for new technologies and social networks, they said they'd cancelled a planned memorial ceremony for those killed during months of protests they'd organised in Bangkok in 2010 because the army had gathered there ahead of time. Those protests and others which followed, held by the more middle-class Yellow Shirts, are a fading memory in these times, it seems, when the ban on gatherings of more than five people is being strictly applied. Paris-based Southeast Asia expert David Camaru at the Seri think tank explained what he sees as the background to the junta's move.
The junta learnt its lesson from the last coup of 2006, when it felt that it gave up both power and control of the political process too quickly. And the result was they got rid of Thaksin Shinawat, but his party then returned in elections, and a couple of years later his sister, Yinuk Shinawat, became prime minister. So this time around they don't want to make the same mistake. They want to be totally in control of the of framing the new constitution, which will be less democratic than all the previous constitutions. For example, the Senate will be largely appointed and will have more power. Somebody who's not a member of parliament can become prime minister. So, you know, they're basically trying to put in place all the possible mechanisms, the determining body, actually, of political evolutions in Thailand. All of this is in the context of the king is in very poor health, and there is a succession on the horizon, which will be a moment of really of existential anguish, actually, throughout Thailand. I mean, the king's been around for, 40, 50 years, longest-serving monarch. The crown prince is quite unpopular. So what the military wants to do, in combination with, well, part of the Bangkok business elite, is to make sure that they put in place a system that will be to their benefit, and there will be no return of the Shinawatras and of populist politics in Thailand.
Neither the Red Shirts, who were the supporters of Thaksin Shinawat, nor the Yellow Shirts, who are described more loosely as supporters of the monarchy and the business community, would be necessarily very happy about Article 44?
No, neither will be happy. And in fact, the Yellow Shirts, or the Democratic Party, which was the opposition party, which basically was supportive of the coup, feel that they are to some extent being sidelined in this whole protest process. So then Prayut is playing on some divisions within the elite. To what extent the Prime Minister Prayut, General Prayut, is playing his own game is a question, how much widespread support he has. But clearly the military are making sure that they will control the process of some kind of transition to perhaps a little bit more democratized political system, but certainly a step backwards from what existed previously.
It's early days yet, admittedly, but the Thai junta invoking Article 44 has already been criticized by the United Nations Human Rights Commissioner Zaid Raad Al Hussein. He expressed his alarm at the Thai military government's announcement. He said that normally he would welcome the lifting on martial law, but fears that Article 44 is even more draconian. Reacting to the latest turn of political events, the International Commission of Jurists, like the UN's Hussein, is repeating their call for civilian rule to be restored as quickly as possible, and that this Article 44 is illegal, says the ICJ, under international law. Sam Zarifi, the ICJ's Asia officer, is based in Bangkok.
In terms of international law, the situation in Thailand and Article 44 has, unfortunately, put Thailand in a very tough spot, I think. For a country like Thailand, that for quite a few years was viewed in the region, in Southeast Asia, as a model in terms of developing its civil society and moving toward respect for human rights, this is a very disappointing that back.
If it is illegal under international law, what recourse is there?
We are seeing more and more complaints coming up through various United Nations human rights mechanisms. And with Article 44, what's very interesting is that because it gives the head of the junta individually the authority and the responsibility for ordering the arrest and detention of people under international law, the head of the junta, potentially under international law, he could actually face prosecution for violating human rights and international law, especially if he were to travel outside the country. And that's something that we have seen cases brought against other heads of state, for instance. And in this case, because of the specific and individual nature of the authority given under Article 44, actually a case like this is potentially even stronger.
You're listening to Spotlight on Asia on RFI with me, Roslyn Hyams. After the calls from various diplomatic missions in Bangkok and from the UN's Human Rights High Commissioner, Thailand's Deputy Prime Minister Wisanu Kreernam this past week set out to explain Section or Article 44 of Thailand's interim constitution. In his explanation, he says Section or Article 44 can and will be used for constructive purposes. He gives examples such as speeding up, and I cite a statement on the Thai government's website, certain tasks, including the establishment of special economic zones. That sounds constructive indeed, probably most of all to the ears of the sporadically restive underdeveloped south of the country. Well, over in Bangkok, Dan Tong is with the Union for Civil Liberty. He's been campaigning for civil rights for decades. He's less concerned about legal debates than the effects of Article 44 and the lifting of martial law.
They thought that they could substitute another law which would escape notice. But in fact, this Article 44 is even worse. And of course, he's always said that, oh, well, don't worry, I'll use it wisely to speed up necessary reform. But at the moment, the law has empowered every military officer, right down to the rank of second lieutenant, to make decisions about arrest and so on. So it is out of control that how this law is applied. The army officers under martial law, of course, would have to have some ruling from above. But now they've been given the power to make initiatives already on the blanket permission they've been given.
Have they started using this? The change came just about a week ago.
Well, we don't know because the media are restricted. They're told not to report bad news, only to report good news. So we're not really aware of what's going on throughout the country. Once the law is there, it can be enforced. The interpretation, it can be arbitrary under Article 44. They can make up their mind to ban anything, actually.
And Wisanu also referred to Article 16 of the French Constitution, noting that the French president can have recourse to special measures during special circumstances. I asked David Camru, who has at least one foot in Paris and one often in Southeast Asia, what he thinks of all this.
Well, there is a long tradition of French-trained lawyers in Thailand. Paradoxically, at the end of the 19th century, the monarchs did not want to send people to France to be trained because they felt they would be tainted by republicanism. And in fact, that's what did happen, because one of the leaders of the movement that overthrew the People's Party in 1932, that overthrew the monarch, was in fact a French-trained lawyer. I think that they're, you know, clutching at any straws available to them. And, you know, that article of the French Constitution is not for the military as such. It has to do with the president and exceptional measures. It's a democratically elected president. And in the Thai case, it would have to do with, in fact, the role of the monarch, who's meant to be a constitutional monarch, but in fact is a significant political actor in reality.
Well, that's David Camru here in Paris, bringing us to the end of this week's Spotlight on Asia on RFI. And thank you for listening. From me, Roslyn Hyams, until next time, goodbye.